agency did awesome this month. Broke a company record, broke $100,000 this month as an agency. So just want to congratulate you, Nate, for doing that. The fastest, as far as I know, and I don't want to count agents that have brought over an agency from another company that spent 8-9 years building it. But if you just count brand new agents coming into Symmetry, as far as I know, I was told the fastest agent to reach 100,000 in a month was about a year and a half. And Nate and most of you guys on this call tonight did it in 5 months. It was the fifth month, right, Nate? Let's see, November, December, January, February, March. Your fifth month did 100,000, just crushed the company record about three times as fast as the second fastest. Well, Matt and I did it a little bit sooner than a year and a half, but nothing like 5 months. So that's awesome. I just want to congratulate
you.
Well,
I'll give a shout out to you and Matt and Edward and most people on this call because this was a definite team effort. I mean, the power of that story, guys, to leverage that story, it's not about me, it's not about Matt, it's not about Brad or about Edward. It's about what is possible. You know, and it's always talk about stories and facts tell and stories tell. So we just set a precedent as a team. I mean, I'm not going to go through all the names of everyone on this line, this phone that submitted one deal. Maybe you just got started like Johnny Bacon out here in Dallas, and he put in his first app. We just cleared 100,000. I think we were at like 102,000. Emmanuel Irfan put in his first app. Chris Cook for his first three apps in. And again, I hate naming names, guys, because you've got Marlon Faulkner doing over 20,000 APB, his team killing it, and John Acampo killing it, and Michael Hooker and LaVita and Charlie putting in her first account, and Linda Omni putting in her first account. I can keep going on and on, but everybody played a role in us accomplishing a goal and setting a precedent to show people it's possible. See, if I brought in somebody like a Bryce Ball or a Ron Williams who made millions of dollars in other industries but had zero experience in this industry, a lot of times, guys, and they're different human beings, so they're not like this, but a lot of times you'll have these guys come with a big ego, like, oh, yeah, I could sell ice cream, I could do this, I could do that. And then the reason they don't get started is afraid of them failing because they had success in the past. So either way, you're able to use that story to be able to leverage the story and just be like, hey, you know, we had a guy come in here. He had a sales experience for 10, 20 years and built sales organizations and had great success doing it, but he never had a lick of experience in insurance sales, never had a moment of training on in-home sales, and he was able to follow a system and work with the mentors that you have a chance to work with, like a Matt Smith, like a Brad Smith, like an Edward Pritchett, and he got started, broke a company record, $50,000 in APV his first month out in the field. But not only did he do that, he started bringing a team of people over with him, not after he learned how to do it, but he got them trained along with him, and because he didn't wait to recruit, he didn't wait to build an agency, that agency that you guys are a part of, most of you on this phone tonight, grew to where it went over $100,000 in less than 5 months, which has never been done before. Calculate that, 10, 15, 20%, you pick a number. Where can you go and have people that you bring over that get trained? I didn't train Marlon how to do this. I didn't train Michael Hooker how to do this. I didn't train Gianna Campbell how to do this. I didn't train Daniel Potter, Chris Cook, Robert Walker, you name it. I didn't train any of you guys to do this. I brought you in, plugged you into a system, and gave you access to the same information, the same system I had, and the mentorship that I had. Yeah, did I help out with some conference calls here and there? Absolutely, guys. But that wasn't even near towards the end of what we're doing right now. And because of that, the team agency did over $100,000 in volume. That's $10,000 in residual income in less than 5 months. And the neatest thing about the system we're talking about building, guys, is that I could quit tomorrow, and I guarantee you, Johnny Bacon ain't quitting. Marlon's definitely not quitting. He can't quit. He's got volume coming in underneath him. So in 5 months, you physically, literally can start building an agency where you start having people and training them how to have success and plug them into a system to where now my income is completely out of my control with Symmetry Financial Group. How cool is that? I've had a lot of things in my life out of control, and I used to always say this before my last business, but never my income. How cool is it to be able to create something where your income is literally out of your control in a good way? Can you imagine working for somewhere for 5 months and you're the manager at, you know, CVS or Walgreens and you train 10 guys to come in there, they're getting paid $7 an hour? and you decide, well, you know, if I really don't want to go in today, I'm still going to make my $15 an hour because I get a dollar off each person that I train. And that's the magic of this. But, again, I mean, I have to thank everyone on this phone. It's an incredible story that we have to be able to market as a team. It's not about me. It's about the team. I didn't do this myself, guys. And if it was Marlon sitting on top of this team, he would have the same results. Or if it was Robert Wofford or Christopher Cook, any of you guys that were sitting in my situation, in my spot, who brought people in and got them trained, have the same story. And a lot of you guys have the opportunity to have the same story. My next goal is to find somebody on the phone that's brand new or just get started and do it in 4 months and then 3 months. Quicker than that can be pretty physically impossible, I think, without bringing over an agency or transferring companies and stuff like that. But, yeah, I appreciate that, Brad. It's pretty awesome. It's a great feeling. I'm excited for us to go from 100,000. Now our goal is to get five people to 100,000, which will push our agency to 500,000. So
that's what excites me, to think about if you can do $100,000 in your fifth month, doing the exact same thing, what's it going to look like in a year? What's it going to look like in 2 years, in five? It's a sure way. If you want to make, some people on this call want to make $50,000 a year. Some people on the call want to make $100,000 or $200,000. Some people want to make $1 million a year. Some people want to make $1 million every 2 or 3 months. And what I love about this system is that's possible, because all we're doing is we're developing leaders to be able to do $100,000 in a month, $200,000 in a month. And the more leaders we can help do that, the higher it brings your income. I love it. It's just a proven system. So congratulations to all you guys on the call. Congratulations to Nate. The other thing, Nate, that I just am blown away at, we were looking at your numbers, and we were, you know, you and I were going over this. The last at least 6 weeks, if not 8 weeks, and some, you know, me included, a lot of people, they look at a lead or a form that somebody filled out. They call them. They go sit down on them, and they make an excuse of why they weren't able to enroll them. And we makes us feel a little better about ourselves, I think, to say it was out of our control. There's nothing we could do, and you know, they didn't have the money, or they weren't ready to make a decision, or whatever the reason was. And it makes us feel better about ourselves to have that excuse and have it be outside of our control. But Nate, you've proven over the last 6 to 8 weeks, you have a 100% closing rate. 100%. Every single person that you sat down with over the last 6 to 8 weeks, minimum six, maybe even up to eight, you enrolled at least one of the homeowners, if not multiple policies. That is just unbelievable to me that that's even possible. But now we know that it is. So tonight's call is, how would you like to have at least an 80% closing rate? There's nobody better in the company, because I don't know of anybody in the company. I've never heard of anybody that has 100% closing rate, at least in this far of a stretch. So I don't know that there's anybody in the company who could teach us better on how to have an 80% or better closing rate in the home. So that's what tonight's call is about, Nate. I know you've got some good stuff to share, so get your pens and paper out. Get ready to take some really good notes, because this is going to be very, very valuable when you're meeting with homeowners.
Oh, I appreciate it, Brad, and I wanted to kind of set that straight. When you talk about 100% closing ratio, it's 100% enrollment ratio, which means that did I have 100% of appointments I booked that I sat down with? Not at all. Did I have 100% of the phone calls that I made, I booked an appointment with? Not at all. And what's been able to happen is I've been going through this journey for the last 4 or 5 months, and I've been able to follow the scripts and learn what it is that we need to do, guys. We're not getting off the script. It's an in-home script. And we spent a lot of time today on agenttraining.info. It's agenttraining.info. If you haven't registered for a username and password, log in there and register for one. And we have a little tab that says home. Then there's a tab that says I passed my test or I'm licensed. You can click on that if you're licensed, getting started. And then we just added another one called 10 steps. And we pretty much outline the 10 steps of what we do and how we do it. And from start to finish, from logging into your username and passwords to ordering your leads to preparing to call your leads, organizing your leads, to downloading software, to running quotes, the site find running quotes, all the way through what we say in the home and how to, you know, submit your first application. So step number 9 is all I'm going to talk about tonight, which is the in-home script. And in step number 9 is preparing to go in the home on the 10 steps on agenttrain.info, and there's the in-home script there, guys. We're not changing anything. Only thing I want to kind of do tonight is just kind of, you know, Brad asked me to do this, and I know we had a phone conversation, Craig and I, and he said it helped him out tremendously, and I really just want to get back to the basics. Okay, what do we do in the home, and what is the psychology and the philosophy of that homeowner? Because, guys, we all make decisions the exact same way. The problem is that no one ever taught us how people make decisions. And I got trained and mentored by someone who spent 10 years teaching me how people make decisions. So you don't need to shoot for 100% close ratio and enrollment ratio. You don't need to shoot for 80% enrollment ratio. You know, maybe 50% is good to start off with. Or if you went out and talked to 4 homeowners and you got 0, get 1 out of the 4. But the goal here is to be able to start improving the way you communicate with human beings and start finding out how their brains think, work, and operate, and what leads them to make a decision. And it's not about trying to sell or convince them to buy it. It's about them realizing, creating a realization in their mind that they need something. We talked about that. It's an art. When you can create a realization in another human being's mind that they need something, they'll buy anything that you're selling. And there's really, guys, on that in-home script, and we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight, you know, this is exactly what I did. I had this in-home script right in front of me, right in front of my computer when I first got started, because I didn't really know what to say. I was nervous. I didn't want to miss anything. And the more and more I've been sitting down with the homeowners and more I've been using the skills that I was taught for the last 10, 15, 20 years from my mentor, I've been able to create my own spice, so to speak, in terms of the recipe to be able to be the most effective and efficient I can be in a home. The only objection, which we'll talk about tonight, that I get that I cannot leave with a policy, which I haven't gotten yet, and I've gotten this many times, is when they really turn around and say, this is not a concern to me. The problem is that no one's going to come to you and say, this is not a concern to me, unless you ask them if it's a concern to them. And if I ask in the beginning if it's a concern to you, and then at the end they try to tell me it's not, I can revert right back to going, okay, well, when we first sat down, didn't you tell me this was the concern? And we're going to talk about it tonight. And there's 5 keys, and we could do a 2-day training on these 5 keys to a successful negotiation. There's 5 simple keys to a successful negotiation. And I'm going to use all of them tonight as we go through this, but we're not going to be able to teach on all of them. The beauty of it is that instead of going through 10 years and 15 years of learning how to do this, you imagine never being able to fish, you become a professional fisherman, and you're taught how to, you know, put the lure on the line, and how to hook the hook the right way, and how to bring the fish into the boat, and how to let it run. And you had 10 years experience, and I was able to sit next to you, and you hand me a rod. Either A, you expect me to do it, or B, you say, hey, here's my 10 years experience in deep sea fishing. Let me guide you and tell you how to do what I do and how I catch these fish and how I bring them into the boat, and just follow what I do, and then you can learn the reasons behind what I do later on. And that's when we're going to start doing these weekend trainings. We're going to start having basic building block workshops and millionaire workshops and leadership courses. We're going to start teaching you the philosophy behind this stuff. But the 5 keys are simple, guys. And this is all the stuff that we use during the in-home scripts. But the first one is to identify. You need to identify. You need to build a common ground for your negotiation, and that's through building rapport. We're going to talk about this tonight, guys. We're not spending a lot of time on rapport because it's the simplest thing, but my whole reason, I'm not building rapport to find out what they like to do for fun, even though I'm asking. I'm not building rapport to find out if they like their job or not, even though I'm asking. I'm building rapport because I'm trying to find out what movie are they watching. Everyone's watching a movie when you sit down with them. They're all thinking about something. Their movie, and guys, it's scary sometimes when you start asking the questions to find out what movie people are really watching, but I don't know what TV channel they're tuned into and how far off that TV channel is from the one I'm tuned into and the one I want them tuned into. So my whole job of building rapport and building common ground, I'm going to start asking them questions. If they're great at working on cars, I'm going to read, okay, that's awesome. You know, I don't know how to change my oil. My dad grew up in the city. I'm going to compliment on it, and I'm going to move on to something until I can find a bridge. I can find an area of a commonality. And it's supposed to be pleasant. You don't want to be a private eye or a detective guy. It's a very smooth conversation. And the more you let people talk about themselves, the more rapport you build. The more you let people talk about themselves, the more rapport you build, and the more they like you. We do a training where we'll sit down and show you and teach you at the lunch break how to go out and meet somebody. And you'll know everything about them, from their name to whether they're married, they're single, the kids, what college they went to, what their favorite sports are. And literally, you'll have be able to collect all that information. You can't even tell them what your name is, and we teach you how to do it. and you'll come back from lunch and you'll have a whole laundry list, and people will be like, oh man, I feel like I've known you for years. They don't even know what your first name is. So identify, guys. You want to be able to identify. You know, when they talk about directing the homeowner to the kitchen table, verifying and gathering information, that's my identify phase. I want to be able to build that area as a common ground. Then I want to gather the ammunition. And that's when I'm gathering the ammunition, I'm finding out why. Why do they fill out this form, which we'll talk more about. I'm not just going to leave it at that, okay? And the next step, so you have identify, you're gathering your ammunition. The next step is what's called attack and confess. And this has to do with handling objections. But I make it really easy for you because there's 7 steps to how to attack and confess, and it's nothing more, guys, than handling the objections. And you want to be able to attack the position where they're coming from, relate to them, and then confess to them why their objection is stupid or it's not going to work on you. But rather than having to go through all that, there's not many objections you're going to get in a home except I want to think about it or the money objection. And if we can cover I want to think about it and the money objection prior to our presentation, and we can take that off the table, 90% of the time you won't get those 2 objections. See, guys, people do things to avoid pain. We all do. You do things to avoid pain. I do things to avoid pain. And that's what motivates people. People do things to avoid pain, and that's what motivates them. So if you're able to sit down and be able to help them avoid the pain, you'll be able to enroll that client. And we're going to talk about the thing. So the attack and confess, this is where I talk about the value and the think about it. Then logic and reasoning, which is a huge part of it. The problem is that most people think the logic and reasoning is what sells the deal, and the logic and reasoning is just what cements the fact that they're making a good decision based upon the logic and the reasoning behind the product. That's it. It's explaining how the product works. It's building the value in the different riders like we talk about on another audio. And it really is just explaining the different benefits of what they qualify for. But that's the logical point. It's the least important of your entire presentation, your negotiation, but yet most people spend all their time on that. See, if I can't identify, gather my ammunition, I can't do the attack and confess, build the value, overcome the objections, all the logic and the reasoning in the world makes 0 sense, and people don't make decisions based on logic and reasoning. They make people make emotional decisions instead of logical decisions. I'll prove it to you. That's not true. They need to understand. No, I'll prove it to you. Think about your wife, your last girlfriend, or your current girlfriend. Logically, it would make sense when you first met them, and some of you, after I say this, probably wish you would have done this, where you sit down, and instead of going, oh, she's so beautiful, we have such great things in common, the logical thing would be, okay, listen, Callie, before we start a relationship, I'd like to interview your last 10 boyfriends or ex-husbands. I want to sit down and I want to do a pros and cons. What did you like about Sally? What annoyed you about Sally? What was it about the Sally that caused you guys to get a divorce? Why did you even break up with Sally? What was the things that Sally liked? What did she didn't like? What couldn't she stand? Logically, that would make sense, right? That'd make total sense because then we go, okay, great, Sally's not for me, or, ooh, I don't know if I can handle that or deal with this. Right now you know what to expect, but we don't do that. We're emotional beings, emotional creatures, and we have emotions that get involved, and the reason people get divorced is because of the logic. So the logical side starts kicking in and go, man, I can't deal with this crap anymore. They're out. So logic and reasoning is a point, a part of it, but not the whole part. And the final step is the solution. If you can teach people, or not teach people, but if you can learn how to create the value in something and you can learn how to create a need for something and have their brain go, I need what you have, then it's as simple as showing them a solution. If I'm sitting there on the side of the road and I have a flat tire and someone comes by and goes, oh, you have a flat tire, and hands me a jack and a wrench to be able to change my tire, and I don't have one, are you going to stand there and go, no, I don't want it, I don't need it? Or are you going to go, wow, I need a jack, I need a little thing to take the nuts off, I don't even smart enough to even know what that means, what it is, and thank you, I'll take it. There's no sale. The guy didn't pull over the side of the road and convince you that you needed a jack to jack up your car to take your tire off. You had a need, and he had a solution, and him handling you the solution, you were smart enough to go, thank you, and you utilize the tool that you needed that you didn't have. So now we're going to make it simple. Because there's the 5 keys to a successful negotiation. So when we walk into the home, you know, we build the rapport, we sit down with them, and that's really where I start to gather the information. You know, and I pull out the form that they mailed back in, and I kind of basically started going over the health questions, saying, you know, okay, let's pick a name, you know, Mark and Linda, right? And so I'm talking to Mark, and I start talking to him, and, you know, we're building a little bit of rapport, and Linda, and I build rapport throughout the whole, I'm identifying the whole time throughout the whole presentation, so you don't have to spend 20 minutes doing that. And I wish I could have someone sitting in front of me so I could do this. I'm a lot more effective when I have someone here trying to doing it with me as opposed to trying to tell you how I do it. So I'm just going to kind of pretend that, you know, Mark's sitting here across from me in my chair here in my house, which is kind of funny, but, you know, we'll go with it. So, you know, and I'll just start building rapport. I'll open my folder slowly, and I'll just kind of pull it out and say, hey, you know, Mark, well, I know that when we were talking on the phone, you had indicated here that you have some high blood pressure and you're taking lisinopril. Is that correct? And I'm going to start verifying the information, right? I'm going to verify the information that's on the form. I'm going to start figuring out, is there anything that's going to pop up here that I wasn't expecting? Is he going to tell me, oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot to tell you that I have cancer? And I'm always very adamant about letting them know that, you know, I know the script says verify the information, resurrect the why and stuff, but why I'm verifying that information, guys, I'm kind of talking to them about my role and purpose. That's where I really start to sit down with them and go, Mark, you know, before I get started here, I just want to let you know why I'm here. And I'm really kind of setting the stage at that point, okay? I don't just start for like a private eye starting to get the information right away. So I'm talking to him. I go, you know, Mark, listen, before we really get into this, you know, I just want to let you know, you know, what it is that I do and why I'm here. You know, I'm not here to sell you anything. I don't have a product in my bag that's, you know, that basically, you know, I'm going to try to sell you or convince you to buy. I've been doing this long enough, and that's a key thing, guys. If you've been doing it for one day, it's long enough. I've been doing this long enough to realize that there is no one-size-fits-all product. Everyone has different unique needs and different unique situations that they are looking to get this coverage for. And I'm shaking my head, or I wish you could see me, and I'm nodding my head, and they'll start nodding their head. And it's another part of the training we talk about. If you have someone nodding their head, it's pretty difficult for them to say no because it just doesn't go right. You know, try to shake your head right now up and down and say no. Your head automatically starts moving side by side. So I just want to get them to start nodding their head, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm nodding their head. I said, everyone has a unique situation. It's different. Everyone has different needs. So I had the ability to, I basically not only contracted myself and got licensed, but I'm also a field underwriter for 33 different companies or 36 different companies. So I make a really good point of that because it's like, hey, what does that mean to them? Again, you're just creating a visual picture. You're not saying I'm better than any other agent out there. I'm just saying not only am I a licensed agent, but I also appointed myself and took the time to contract myself with over 33 different companies. Wow, my goodness, you put a lot of work and energy and effort into this. Okay, great. And that way it gives me the ability to pretty much negotiate on your behalf. To go out there and find and shop around and find, because that's another objection you may get. Oh, I just want to look around, right? Let's overcome it. We know that's one of the objections. I want to look around. Let's overcome it right now. So it gives me the ability to kind of negotiate on your behalf and shop around and really find the companies that are going to give you the most amount of coverage for the least amount of cost. And as we talked about on the phone, it's really based on your health here. So the more information you can give me here, it's not going to get you declined. You know, I've got people covered that have lung cancer, breast cancer, COPD. So it's just going to help me not show you something you may not qualify for or have you apply for something that caused you to get declined. Because my job's here to get you coverage, not to get you declined for coverage. Isn't that true? And I go, yep, and I'm shaking my head, okay? So I'm setting the stage right there. You know, before we get into this, I just want to let you know, I'm not here to sell you anything. People think, what are they thinking, right? Oh, he's here to sell me. I tell him, I'm not here to sell you anything. I turn to my bag and go, I don't have any magical, you know, I don't have some product in my bag here I'm going to try to pull out and convince you to buy or make you think that you need. I've been doing this long enough where what I realized rather quickly was there is no one-size-fits-all product. And unfortunately, like a lot of other agents that are out there, they have one product, they have to sit down, convince you why you need to get their product, whether it's right for you or not, you know. And I've taken the time to get appointed with and contracted with 33 different carriers and basically become a field underwriter for them. So I have the ability to pretty much shop around, negotiate on your behalf, and find the carriers can offer you the most amount of coverage for the least amount of cost. And it's really based upon some of these questions I'm going to ask you. So the more honest you are with me, the more you're going to be able to help me find out what you actually qualify for versus then getting you denied for the coverage. Does that make sense? So I know you told me over the phone you're on high blood pressure medication. You know, is there anything out? I'm really going to start digging in more and digging in more, guys, and make them feel comfortable for them opening up. I mean, that's the point where you're at. If there's something that's changed versus your call with your mentor that you had in terms of what product you were going to put them for or talk to them about, because I don't want to find that when I'm done, guys. I don't want to find that out when I'm filling out the application. Many of you guys, including myself, have got done the whole presentation. We're totally excited, and we start filling out the application, and we don't call our mentor. So then you go home and you submit the application, and the first time your mentor sees it, he sees you scrubbing the application when he's looking over your application. He goes, well, wait a minute, he's a police officer. He doesn't qualify for disability. Oh, all that time wasted, and most likely you're not going to be able to get back in the house and get it. Or, well, you know, they're on two anxiety medications there, Brad. So, I mean, unfortunately, two anxieties and automatically decline unless it's situational. Well, even if it's situational, they don't like to see two anxiety medications on the home protector, so that's pretty much an automatic decline. Waste. So when you go over with your mentor what product you want to put them on, guys, this is where you want to verify that information and you want to do it. Now I'm going to go into the gathering the information or ammunition, okay, of their why. Why did they fill this in? And this is, and we people talk about it all the time, but this is the most important part of the presentation. Remember we talked about our goal at the end is what? Find a solution? Well, if I can't identify a problem, I can't give them a solution. If I am the same guy that drives up on the side of the road and I can't see if they have a flat tire, I can't see if their engine's smoking or not. I can't see if they ran out of gas, and I'm talking to somebody. I go, hey, what's up? And they don't tell me anything. How the heck am I going to be able to know whether I need to go to the store and get a gas can for them, whether I'm going to need to pop up the hood and see if the oil is low, or if I need to go get them a jack out of the back of my trunk to help them jack up their car or change their tire. It's so obvious, but yet when we're in sales, we go in there and we start going, we had this presentation, we had this whole thing, and we're going to be there to sell them. They can't figure out why they won't buy, or they just weren't ready, you know, they just had to think about it. I mean, it's just like people aren't going to do anything. BS. They're not the type of people that aren't going to do anything. You never found out why they wanted to do it in the first place, or you said, hey, what was your major concern to fill out this form? Well, I wanted to protect my family in case they die. Okay, great. So basically here, let me explain how this works. Wrong, dead, I want to think about it, not interested, let me look around, sounds great, need to talk to my wife, need to pray about it, need to consult the kids, need to talk to my neighbor, he just got a policy, I want to see what his policy was versus yours. Done. The only reason they say that crap at the end of the presentation is because you didn't spend enough time on the step, which is gathering your ammunition, which is gathering your why. Figure out, why did you fill out this form? And what happens is now, guys, this is a chance for me to take over their TV screen, right? I already identified with them. I already saw what's on their TV screen. I want to see what's on their TV screen. Now I'm going to take it over so you can watch the picture I'm going to create for you. Because if there isn't a strong enough need, I'm going to create a need for you. You're going to visualize your life without this product. You're going to visualize your life without your husband. You're going to visualize your life without the money that he makes every month and the struggle you're going to have to go through with your children. And I'm going to make you visualize that right there in front of me, guys. And there's many times I have clients who cry in front of me because I make them visualize their life. And no one's ever, I didn't talk to my wife. We've never sat down and said, hey, honey, well, if you die, how's it going to be? Never did it. Most people don't. Most of you on the phone haven't talked down to your best friend or even your mom, dad, or kid. Have you sat down to your kids and said, hey, you know, what would happen if I'm dead tomorrow? We don't do it, guys. We don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think that we're not going to be here. So sometimes it's the first time in your life, their life, even if they fill out the form, they ever actually could sit down, visualize, or imagine what would happen if. And there's my job. Some people are simple. They'll just tell you. I was talking to a lady today. I'm over the phone, and she was telling me her why over the phone. She's like, listen, I lost my husband a year ago. I didn't have any coverage put in place. And we struggled. So now her and her son and her daughter bought a house together so they could live, and they're all in the mortgage. She's, I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm not going to let it happen to my kids. Okay. I think I dug pretty deep enough. I'm not going to have to resurrect any much more emotion from her. She's pretty much told me her why. It's pretty much, okay, I just got to find a product that makes sense to her and fits into her budget. So, but I'm sitting down there, and it was, I count Mark and Linda. So Mark and Linda, you know, and I looked the form over to them. I go, what was it? Why did you, and I asked just like this, guys, what was your major concern, I guess, of why you wanted to put this coverage in place? Well, you know, in case anything really happens to me, and you know, I want to make sure that, you know, Linda's going to have the house, and okay, and Linda, I'm just going to go here, Linda, but let's say that we were sitting here, and I look right at Linda, and I ignore Mark's not even in the room anymore. My brain is visualizing Mark is dead. Not in a weird way or a strange way or a horrid way, but now Mark is gone. He's out of the picture. Karen, if we were having this conversation without Mark right now, and Mark had died yesterday, he's not here. We were sitting down talking about the situation, besides the emotional heartbreak that you're going through of losing your best friend, financially, how would it look for you? Would you be able to stay in this home? And you're going to get yes or you're going to get no. And again, the call's not long enough to go both routes, but I'm going to give you kind of a quick hint here. Let's go through the yes. Most of the time they're going to say, well, yes. That's why they filled out the form. Would it be financially difficult for you to stay in the home? Well yeah, I'd be, you know, either tight, they're going to say, or it'd be pretty rough, or I'd be screwed, or I'd have to move. Okay, so what would you do? What would you have to do? Now, this is really, it's the next step, guys. You can't buy that one, yeah, I'd be in trouble. Okay, great, I got their emotion. No, you didn't. Now it's my turn to make her visualize her life without her husband. Most people have never done it. 99.999999999% of people have never visualized their life without their spouse, without their income, and what would their life look like. And now it's my time to show them what their life would look like without my product, to create the pain so I can give them the pleasure through the solution at the end of the presentation. So what would it look like? What would happen? And if I build enough good rapport, I know they have children. I got their names now. I know you're talking about, you know, Bobby playing soccer and stuff. I mean, is that going to affect him being able to continue playing soccer or going to the private school? Or, I mean, what would happen? Oh, yeah, it probably would. I mean, I'd probably have to get a second job. What would you do? Again, they can visualize. They never thought about it. Well, I don't know. I mean, I could always do this. And then the husband will chime in, oh, honey, you can't do that. You work too hard already. Now what's happening is if you do this the right way and they start kind of come up with an excuse, the spouse will tell them why their excuse sucks and you don't have to. It's so brilliant. You're sitting in there, and Karen goes, well, I can always get another job. And the husband will either roll his eyes, look at him, and go, Karen, you can't get another job with all the kids. Now it's done. The husband's selling the spouse on why their excuse was stupid, and why are you saying a stupid excuse to the guy sitting across the table asking you a serious question? And that's really the dynamic that you want. And I'll turn to Mark, and I'll say, Mark, you know, if we were having this conversation without Linda, would it be as bad or as great of a hardship on you as it would for Linda, or would you be okay financially? Well, you know, it'd be a little rough, but I'd be all right. I mean, it can go different ways, guys, right? And I'll say, listen, you know, when I go through this coverage and the different options, it's not really necessary. You know, again, we can get different types of policies on either one of you, and we'll kind of talk about that. But I'm assuming here, after what you said, really, you know, the key focal point right now is to make sure we have the coverage on you, Mark, and then we can talk about the coverage on Linda. Is that right? And they're going to go yes, they're going to go no. If Linda and them both are going to have a hardship, then we're going to talk to both of them. We're going to talk to both of them anyway, but I want to start focusing on the key person first, if that makes sense. So now that I'm resurrecting that emotion, I'm making them visualize what would their life be like without this product. Now, what if they say yes? Or what if they say no? Like, oh, would you have a financial difficulty in staying in this home? You know, would it be difficult for you financially? No, not really. Okay, well, when you say not really, what do you have in place right now that would help? And then I have to go down that route, guys. Well, you know, we have life insurance at work. Okay, so, Mark, how much life insurance do you have at work? Oh, I have $500,000. Okay, how long you worked there for? Oh, 4 years. Oh, cool. So you didn't start this job right out of college then, did you? Oh, no, I did. I decided to do it just. Okay, so God forbid something happened to your work, which we know, you know, people are downsizing, resizing, restructuring, everything else, then you're basically that coverage would probably leave with you when you left your job and you no longer have that coverage. Isn't that true? Well, yeah. Okay. And that's totally up to you guys. Again, I mean, it's obviously you said you filled out this form. Why did you fill this form out again? And I'm going to make them tell me, guys, if they're not going to be in a financial hardship, why did they fill out that form? I want to go down that route. But again, I'm going to create a picture. Now, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of, and it's third-party stories. God, we don't have enough time, Brad. You asked me to do this. It's like, oh, trying to explain all the psychology behind it. But I always use third-party stories. I'll say, well, one of the, you know, another couple that I was talking to the other night, I mean, he brought up such a great point. you know, he said, I'd rather be in control of my family's financial future as opposed to letting my boss be in control. I'd rather own something that I have so I can make it, you know, have it whether or not I have a job or not, or whether they offer insurance or not, you know. So that's definitely something that we want to be able to think about, because why did you put that coverage in place in the first place? Oh, well, you know, I got it with my work, okay. Did you get that with your work before buying your home, or did you get it after you bought your home to cover your home? Well, I bought it, you know, before buying my home, obviously. I've been doing it for 4 years. Okay, well, if you passed away, Mark, and you took that $250,000 and you have $150,000 on your house here, I mean, would you want your wife to have to dip into that to pay off the house so she could have a house in to live in without the lifestyle that she's accustomed to? Or if you could have the home paid off and that money could go 100% to her to be able to take care of Bobby and Sue and keep them in the classes and the baseball games and everything else that they're involved with, that she could keep her current lifestyle, would that be something you'd be more interested in having that than just the coverage at work? Well, that's why we're here. Okay, great. So I'm going to want to be able to find out, is it going to be a hardship on them or not? And a lot of times, because I walk into a house and they say, it's not going to be a financial hardship. No, it's really not going to be a financial hardship. So I got to figure out, okay, great. What is the need here? Why did you fill out this form? And then I got to figure out, okay, great. That's when I want to gather that information so they don't use it against me at the end of the presentation where I'm all done and go, yeah, this looks really good, but, you know, I got $500,000 in coverage to put in place of work. So without belaboring that issue, guys, to cover the rest of this, I really want you to understand that the key here is you've got to be able to establish the platform of where you're going to go next with your presentation. And I'll even sometimes ask him, I'll say, okay, great, you know, I know with my wife and I, we don't sit down, she doesn't write me a check out, you know, for the rent each month and for groceries each month, or, you know, split the bills right down the middle or anything like that. But I realize if I do lose her income, there's a certain percentage, a hardship it would be on me. You know, versus if she lost my income, she'd basically be out of the house. So we have, you know, we have a larger policy on me and a little smaller one on her. So we have those options here. So once I resurrect that emotion, I find out they're wide, I really got a good picture of what TV program they're watching, guys. That's when I kind of go into the attack and confess phase of the negotiation, where I'm handling their objections ahead of time. And I'll really start to talk about, you know, the value, which we did a whole audio on, so I don't know how much to go into on this, Brad, but I'm going to go into a little bit of it, where, you know, what I'm going to do here, I'm going to kind of show you guys real quick how this product works. I'm going to overcome the objections through attack and confess. I'm also going to use logic and reasoning here, okay? This is my logic and reasoning part of my negotiation. I start drawing out the old, you know, this is the old cover, guys, and if you haven't watched I think it was step 6 and 8 on 10 Steps to Success, the science behind running quotes. I cover a lot of this, and how to sell full mortgage payoff. And there's going to be a video very soon, if not already, if you're listening to this after when I said very soon, and it's actually more than very soon because it's already happened, on the critical period coverage. So the full mortgage payoff one's up there. So I'm not going to go into all the details how we start to cover that, but as I start going through, you know, the old and the new, I said, you know, as I start to go through this, you know, I'm going to start showing you how this product works and really what some of your options are. And a lot of times when I get through this part, you know, people say, I want to think about it or I want to pray about it, which is really, that's great. But what I've realized rather quickly is that when people say that, this is all in your in-home script, guys. You know, it really comes down to that we haven't found something that either fits your needs or it's just too expensive, okay? So let me kind of go through some of the options. I'm just going to show you everything that you qualify for. Does that make sense? So I'm going to talk about the old and talk about the new. The old mortgage protection had a decreasing term, you know, as you paid your house down, it went down along with it, and beneficiary was the bank. This operates similar, is the words I use, to life insurance, as it has a death benefit. It's attached to your Social Security number, so it goes with you. So if you move or you're refinanced, because a lot of times you'll get that one too. Hey, well, you know, I'm not even sure how long I'm going to be here at the house. Get it off the table. Attack and confess that objection right away. It goes with you. So if you refinance or sell the home, whatever term we decide here, whether it be 20, 30 years, whatever it is that we put in place, is going to go with you for that amount of the term, whether you live here or live somewhere else. You just have to have a mortgage right now to be able to qualify for it. Now, if you were able to pass away, Mark, that money, you could use that portion to pay off the home, I always say. You could use a portion, whatever's left, to pay off the home, and the rest of it goes to your wife. Because as I started to start saying, well, you know, if you die, your beneficiary is your wife. Like, oh, is it just like life insurance? So I just kind of word it the right way. I don't say it has to go to that house. I said, well, you know, if you were to pass away and you owed like $100,000 on the house and we have $200,000 in coverage, then, you know, you could use, your wife could use $100,000 to pay off the home, remainder of the home, and the other $100,000 would go to her. Okay? So, and I draw my little house out. I talk about the death benefit. I talk about the disability. I talk about the critical illness coverage. And I really, really, and Brad's talked about this a lot. We talked about this on another audio you guys can listen to. It's on agent training underneath preparing to go into the home, which is the step number 9. It says how to build value. And it's exactly what we do when we're building value in the home, so I'm not going to cover it tonight. But it's really where you're using third-party stories. You know, I always talk about a story of, you know, I met a guy, he had a $500,000 home, you know, he had it paid off, or a $250,000 home, he had it paid off, made a $500,000 a year, he called me up, and you know, he sent in the form and wanted to get $68,000 in coverage, and I'm like, well, what in the world do you need this coverage for? And he said, well, babe, I got prostate cancer. Blew me away. I walked in there stage one, I had a 1.5 PSA level. Just say it. They think you're smart when you say this. You know, it's a little bit more than what most people are walking. Well, you and I are walking around with Mark right now, and they shake their head. They have no idea what you're talking about. But it makes you seem smart, even though you don't know what you're talking about, maybe. And I said, you didn't realize I had great insurance. This is what people's brains are thinking, right? Oh, I have insurance at work. I have this, I have that. He had great coverage with Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the best he could actually have. And he said, Nate, above and beyond all my insurance, it cost me $400 every time I went in there for radiation and chemo. I had 44 treatments, and I went close to $70,000 in debt from medical expenses and bills I couldn't pay. And he said, I wish I could have had something that if I woke up throwing up in the morning and my hair was falling out, I didn't have to go to work because I didn't die. I didn't die. See, and that's what happens here, Mark, Linda, you know, 60, or Karen, I can't remember which. Sorry, guys, Mark, Linda. That's what happens here, Mark and Linda. You know, 67% of people live through cancer these days. You know, a triple bypass is like a routine, you know, oil change for a doctor. And, you know, unfortunately, if you don't pass away, I mean, one out of three bankruptcies last year alone was due to a critical illness, guys. One out of three bankruptcies. Because people don't realize, yeah, if you die, your home is paid off. But what if you live? What if you live? The mortgage payment still needs to be made, right? Medical bills still need to be paid, right? Car payment's not going to go away. The electric bill's not going to go away. So this has the ability to, if you have a critical illness, be able to have access to 25, 50, or 100% of the death benefit. And then I'm going to draw my return of premium. Right? I'm going to draw my little rainbow over. This is the return of premium, depending if they qualify for it or not. And I'm going to do my presentation that's online that you guys can watch. And then this next one is really, we go over this a lot, guys, but this is really where I set the stage to overcome the objection of I don't have the money or that's too expensive. And I'm going to tell them at this point, you know, what I'm going to do here, guys, is I'm going to show you out of all these options, I'm going to show you all the ones that you qualify for, which I've only written out the ones they did qualify for. There's no reason showing them ones they don't, obviously. And, you know, I'm going to show you all the options that you qualify for. And really kind of figure out what makes sense to you. I'm going to give you guys the ability to customize this coverage to fit your needs, and most importantly, fit into the budget. I'm trying to do it in the tonality, guys, that I do it, because I know a lot of times I talk real fast. I kind of stutter a little bit and stop. I'm not super smooth and talking real fast in the home. I don't say exactly the same thing every time, but this is kind of how I'm setting it up where, you know, I really what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you all everything that you guys qualify for, and it's really your turn to customize the coverage now to fit your needs, to do what, you know, to address the concern that you have, but most importantly, to fit into the budget. Now, budget's a loaded word, and I kind of laugh. I said, you know, everyone budgets for things they see value in. This is where I'm overcoming the objection of money, because if I'm thinking it's $20 a month, $30 a month, and you show them $100 a month, you know, some people you show them $300 a month, they freak out, right? you know, some people budget $150 a month for a cell phone. You know, my parents would think that was crazy. They don't see value in it. Some people will spend $100 a month for a TV, you know, the budget $100 a month for TV, or $150, $200, $300 a week to go out to eat, or beer and cigarettes, whatever. And then some people I'll sit down with, you know, won't spend $50 on a shirt. They think it's too much, but hey, and I go real quick to that one. But I'm not here to judge. Does that make sense, Mark? I'm not here to judge. You know, I'm going to show you everything. It may not necessarily be the best option for you, but I made the mistake before of really determining what you see value in. And I almost, you know, I think the guy was going to hit me because he was so upset because he's 67 years old, had really, and this is what I'm doing here, guys. I'm setting them up. And I learned this one a long time ago. If you came to me and I said, I have this great water filtration unit that's going to sit on your desk, it's going to, or on your sink, it's going to filter out 10,000 gallons of water for less than a penny a day. And I tell you, and they go, how much does it cost? And I go, $100. They go, $100? Yeah, but you're paying $1 per bottle of water. I mean, this does 1,000, 10,000 of those bottles. You would have paid $10,000. You're getting it for $100. Doesn't matter. You're selling, selling, selling. Because the first price you give is always too expensive, right? So if I sit down and I go, well, you know, how much does it cost? I go, $1,000. $1,000? Yeah, it does 10,000 gallons of water. And I have a serious face, right? Man, it seems like a lot. I'm like, I'm just kidding, man. It's only $200. Oh, well, I was going to say, Nate, you're pulling my chain. You know, they start signing the paper or sign the receipt to buy the water filter. Or in the credit card processing business where, you know, well, how long is my lease for? They would lease these terminals each month. They go, it's, you know, it's $40 a month. Well, how long is it for? I go, 10 years. 10 years? What do you mean 10 years they're going to lease this thing for 40? It's 80% of your profit that comes through the store, Mark, right now, goes through that little terminal machine right now. You don't think it's worth more than what you're paying to have the cable TV up there in your restaurant and your DirecTV packages? I'm just kidding with you anyway. It's only 4 years. Oh, I was going to say, oh, my God, sign the lease. So I don't need to get involved in all that in this presentation, guys. All my brain's thinking, okay, I got to give them a number to make this real to them, and then most of them aren't going to be paying that much money anyway. So they're going to think that number's high. So when you show them their number, they're going to go, at least it wasn't $300 a month. So I'm going to say, you know, I made the mistake before of trying to determine what people see value in, and I don't want to do that to you, okay, Mark, Linda? So I'm going to show you everything. It may not be the best option, but, you know, like I said, everyone, you know, this guy was sitting across from me, and, he was 67, pretty unhealthy, and he literally, I said, are you sure you want to pay that much? It seems pretty expensive. And he looked me in the eye, and he slammed his hand on the table, and he said, Nate, if my baby dies, or if I die tomorrow, my baby is not going to have to worry about paying for this house, and she's going to have a home to live in for the rest of her life, and that's how I want it, and I will pay whatever it costs to have my protect my wife like that. So I was like, well, you know, hey, pay $300 a month. So, again, I'm going to show you guys everything you qualify for here, and that's it. And then I go right into it. Now, excuse me. So I go right into it. And before I did this last part, Brad, I know you said you wanted to, I don't know if you wanted to interject or anything here. I know I'm trying to go fast. It like seems like the time just flies. I hope this is helping people. But are you still on, Brad? Or are you
yeah,
unmuted?
No, you're doing awesome.
Do you want anyone to add real quick?
So you're covering the I think this is actually covering a couple different things. I want to think about it and the money. When you say budget is a loaded word, I just used this just last week, the first time, and it was unbelievable. I thought it was a definite no, I'm walking out without the app. And I think what you're covering right here is critical. If people could get just this part that you're saying right now on the way you're covering budget, it would just about double people's ratios because you're making it relative. You're making it relative to what they're already spending money in. And you're talking about the cell phone, $100 to $150 a month, and they don't think twice about it. They're spending $100 a month on their car, or $200 a month on their car insurance. They're spending, a couple hundred dollars a month on cigarettes possibly, or alcohol, or going out to eat. And this is what they see value in. They're spending money on what they see value in. Everybody budgets on what they see value in. Yet they don't, some people think $100 a month is too expensive to protect their family and make sure that they can stay in the home. So, and I love the line that you use, I'm not here to judge, because nobody, after saying all that, and they're thinking, that's true, this is true, this is true, you know, you're getting a bunch of me-toos, and getting me-toos is so important. They're thinking, I do that. Yeah, that's about what my cable bill is. That's about what my cell phone bill is. And so when you come to the point where you show them these rates, everything is now relative. It's not relative to what they were thinking it was going to be. Now it's relative to what they're already spending on other things in their life. Because if they're thinking 15, 20, 30 bucks a month, and you're showing them 150, it's relative to 20 bucks a month. That sounds really expensive. But now it's relative to the other bills, and that doesn't sound so bad. So
well,
the way you're set up.
Yeah, well, I'm doing two things there, too. Well, actually, more than two. But the two main things I'm doing is what you hit right on the nail on the head, so to speak, is I'm making it relative to them, okay, in an obvious way of, okay, we're going to show you some numbers here. It ain't going to be the $15 a month, Mark and Linda, that you thought when you sent this form in there, okay? Sorry to tell you that, but I can't say that to them, right? So I got to do it in the right way of going, okay, morons, in a nice way. You're spending $150 a month on a freaking cell phone, $100 a month to watch freaking TV. And what it's doing is that wife's brain now, and the husband's, the dynamic of this is, and you guys, if you've been married, you get this even better about the dynamic of it. If I do this to Brad, is he really going to tell me his wife's not worth how much he spends on his DirecTV a month to watch stupid football that she hates him watching all the time because he's neglecting the kids and her to watch a bunch of guys race around and throw a football when it has no meaning? That's what's going through their brain. His wife's sitting there going, am I worth how much you spend on your cell phone or how much you spend on your poker night with your buddies? Am I worth how much money you're spending to buy your stupid magazines for your Harley Davidson? Am I worth how much you drink and smoke your cigarettes? Or that's not why I do the cigarette ones. I'll tell you why I do that one. How much you drink in a month or I go out to eat or how much you spend on golf? I mean, you can throw any of those out there. And, again, I'm giving you the one I use all the time. But when I build the rapport, I don't want to confuse you guys. I don't want to give you too much stuff here. But when I'm building the rapport and the guy's an avid golfer and he's really big into motorcycles, I'll throw some of that out there too. You know, I'll say some people, you know, will you know, see value in spending $100 to play around the golf. You know, other people think it's silly. They think it's stupid. Well, I can go hit a golf ball for free in my backyard. So, again, I'm not here to judge. And I'm going to make it real to them. Now, when I throw the beer and the cigarette part in there, guys, most of my clients aren't smokers. So people go, why would you put that in there? Because I'm giving them control back. Because right now I'm kind of not bashing them, but I'm basically saying you're an idiot if you don't see value in this because you see value in other things that are worthless, like watching TV, cable, going out to eat. on your cell phone because you see value in that. And so I'm giving them a little bit of a break for their brain to process that, why I'm attacking them pretty much, to take control back of their value system. When I throw out there, you know, some people see value in spending, you know, $400 or $500 a month in cigarettes, and their brain's going, oh, we don't. We think that's stupid. Now they're in control. Now they just said, hey, I'm in control of what I see value in, and beer and cigarettes is stupid, but is the protection of my family, stupid. And that's a lot deeper of a negotiation, I guess, we could get into. But that's why I throw it in there. Don't worry about how it works. It works. Some people see value and spend $100 a month on the cell phone, on their TV, around the golf, whatever the case may be. And other people, you know, see value in, you know, spending a couple hundred dollars, $400 or $500 a month on beer and cigarettes. And so most of my clients who don't smoke, their brain goes, well, that's stupid. Who can see value in that? And they just took control back over of after I've been berating them right now pretty much in a nice way. They took control back in their brain to go, hey, that's dumb. At least I'm smart enough now to see what value I see in something. And now you're relating whether or not they think that their value of their life and their family is more than what some people see value in beer and cigarettes. It's just it hooks their brain, guys. It hooks their brain right there. Another thing we talked about, I want to think about it. I do that one before I start going through explaining the old and the new. I said before I go in there and explain this stuff, you know, when I get done, some people say they want to think about it. I've gotten so good, which I'll talk about this as we wrap up this thing, I want to think about it. I almost like when people tell me they want to think about it because it really helps me lock down the deal. So I don't even really uncover that objection as much as I used to in the beginning, the think about it one. Because, again, if someone tells me they want to think about it, so I go through the whole presentation, right, and I sit down. Now, I know there's easy ones where you have a 38-year-old, $150,000 mortgage, you can get it to them for 80 bucks a month. Then there's the harder ones, though, right, where you have a 55-year-old guy, they have a $225,000 mortgage, she's 56, you're trying to do a home protector, they can't do a 30-year, they can only do a 20-year, whatever the case may be. Now you're, like, scrambling, this is why you want to prepare before going in the home. Consult your mentor. How would I use this how would I do this presentation successfully if I got to show them a $400 a month number? Well, I do so much preparation prior to going to the home, so I know if I have to show them a $400 number, so I can tailor fit my presentation to fit their needs. And I always talk about, listen, I'll show you, okay, and people love this, right? I go, Mark, you know, let's say he's 55 years old and Michelle's 53 years old. They have a $200,000 mortgage and, you know, it's a 30-year note. And, you know, it's just, it's going to be astronomical. I'll still tell them, I'll show them. I'll still show you guys the number. Again, I don't want to determine what you see guys see value in. I think to me it's a little bit silly to even cover the full amount of the house. I know that you said you bring in 50% of the income, Linda, and you do as well, Mark. And our goal here isn't, and this is a great way to do this, guys, our goal isn't here to break the bank or to make you have some payment that's annoying that you can't feel comfortable with that doesn't fit in the budget. That's not our goal here, is it? Our goal is to help Karen stay in the home, or Linda, I keep saying, I don't know which one I started with, sorry. Linda, our goal is to help Linda stay in the home and protect your family in case you pass away. That's true, isn't it, Mark? Well, yeah. So just in my professional opinion, I think it's a little overkill even to cover the full $200,000. You know, what I would really do, you know, in considering your health, and let's say they're healthy, you know, maybe they're high blood pressure, cholesterol, I compliment them how healthy they are. I go, you know, Mark, I mean, being as healthy as you are at 55 years old, I mean, really, chances are you passing away. Now, again, I'm not God, and if God comes down and wants to take me when I walk out your door and strike me down with a heart attack, it's possible, right? But let's look at what this coverage will do. And this is where I start getting into the presentation of addressing their need, which I found out earlier. And it's all different, so it's hard for me to teach you every scenario, but most of them are pretty similar. Keep my wife in the home and keep my family protected if I die, or protect me if I get a critical illness, right? So I'm going to kind of paint the picture of, okay, I need them to visualize. I already got them to visualize, what is my life like without this product, right? We did that in the beginning. So now I'm on the solution phase. I'm on the final step of the negotiation to show them the solution to the problem I created or pointed out to them. Well, my solution is, how do we keep Linda in the home? How do we protect their family? And I want them now to visualize their life with this product versus I already made them visualize this, their life without the product. So now I'm just going to talk about it and say, well, you know, Mark, let's say that, you know, you did pass away in the next 5 or 10 years. You know, there's still a pretty, you know, large amount on this mortgage. And I think that, Linda, you did say that, you know, if you passed away, I mean, if he covered his half, you would be able to, you know, refinance the home, right? You literally would drop your payment from $1,000 a month to $500 a month. So if you had, were able to drop your payment for $500 a month, would you be able to stay in the home? And she goes, yeah, absolutely. Great. Guess what? Solution. Remember we talked about this, guys? It's not about selling the whole mortgage and protecting the whole mortgage. I'm finding out what their problem is, and I'm going to give them a solution, and they're going to create a realization in their brain that I need this, and then they'll buy it. So what's the solution? Keep your wife Linda in the home, right, Mark? I'm not going to ask him that, but I'm going to show him how he's going to do that with this product. I'm going to show him now what this product and what his life's going to look like by having this protection put in place. So chances of you dying, if they're healthy, guys, I'll say this, chances of you passing away from a heart attack or stroke, you know, or really of just dying, you may have a slight one to live through it. That's why we have this critical illness coverage put in place, right? Because he already told me that that's important to him. Because in the video, you'll see, hey, what part of this is not important to you before you ever show him the numbers, right? Actually, I'm sorry. I always say what part of this is not important to you after I show them all their numbers. So when I create the value, I show them all their numbers, and I say, okay, what part of this is not important to you, right? So if I'm prepared in the beginning of what I'm going to do in terms of my presentation, I have these numbers prepared already, guys. They're on a sheet of paper written down in my little notebook. I already know I'm going to go this route with him. I already know. I asked them on the phone what they do for work. I asked her what she did to work. They both working. If you use some common sense, if he's an IT tech software engineer, and she volunteers at the hospital 2 days a week, their income is probably not equal, right? So I'll know that, so I'll do some numbers on a larger policy on him, maybe to cover 80% of the mortgage if it's that scenario where they're older, 55, you know, 53, and it's going to be tough to cover the whole thing for under $200, $300. Or if she's a registered nurse and he works as a supervisor at the plant, good chance that they're similar, almost even. So as I go through this with Mark and I say, you know, chance of you dying, if he's healthy, guys, if he's not healthy, then I can't use this one. But chance of you dying, you know, being as great as health you are at 55, chance of you passing away because of a, you know, a health-related issue in the next 10 or 15 years is probably slim enough. And remember we talked about this accidental death benefit? If I were you, this is kind of what I did with my coverage, which is true. You know, if we have a $200,000 mortgage here, right? So if we just did a $100,000 death benefit and we add on this accidental death benefit, now what it's going to do is going to protect that $200,000 for the next 10, 15 years while your mortgage is the greatest, right? And by then, when you start getting up into 65, 66, 67, where there's a lot greater chance now that the health issues may start kicking, and we hope not, but that the greater chance they're going to kick in then than now, then pretty much you're going to have your mortgage paid down far enough that it would take care of the full mortgage. That makes sense, doesn't it, Mark? And I'm shaking my head. I'm nodding my head. That makes sense, doesn't it, Mark? He goes, well, yeah, it makes total sense. So finding a solution, I'll say, so God forbid, if you were taken, I'm going to give them a reason, okay, well, what if that doesn't die back? So God forbid, if you did pass away from now in the next 10 years, and we all know in the next 10 years, you barely pay anything on your mortgage except for interest, so your mortgage is still the highest, and you did pass away due to health-related issues, at least you still have $100,000 that Karen will have that would be able to pay half the house off. She could refinance and still stay in the home because you did pay earlier. I keep going back at Karen and Linda. That's funny. Sorry. Sorry, guys. that Linda, you did say earlier that you could afford the $500 a month to be able to stay in the house if you cut your mortgage payment in half, right? And she goes, well, yeah. Great. So what was it that's not important to you, the critical illness, disability, return of premium? So now I'm basically directing them into the coverage that I'm going to help fit into their budget for them to see value in, if that makes any sense. And I go, I hope I didn't confuse the hell out of a bunch of you on the phone, but you don't always have to cover the full amount of the mortgage if you know it ahead of time. You know, if you know ahead of time the situation and you run those numbers when you're in your house and you run the numbers in the software and you start going, you'll consult with your mentor. How would you not, I hate the word pitch because you're not pitching it. How would I present this to them? How would I make this solution to them and your family? And I'm going to explain the solution to them, because if I can show them how this product is going to keep their wife in the home and keep their family protected, they're going to enroll in it. So when I'm all finished with that, guys, and they go, everyone does it differently, I show all four numbers. I kind of give them a range. So when I'm going through and I talk about the critical illness and the disability, the return of premium, I show them everything they qualify for. And if I have to kind of reduce it, I'll say, hey, I'll still show you, you know, the full mortgage payoff. You know, it's going to be $482. Oh, no, you're right. That is crazy. Okay, great. So we're at $100,000 right now with $100,000 accidental death with disability, critical illness. It's $189.99 with return of premium. It's that all that coverage without the return of premium. If that's not important, you're getting your money back. It's going to be $142. If you just want, you know, straight coverage, no bells and whistles, as low as $80 a month. So this is kind of the range that we have in here. We just want to kind of get it, again, into the range that you see value in for this product. I always say you see value. I used to say budget. Now I already explained budget so that you see value in. So out of all these things, what's most not important? What's the least important to you, or what's not important to you? And that's where you start customizing. So you make, well, you know, I'm not really sure about the disability. I have some month work. You know, the disability can be lowered. It can be increased. You know, we have it at $1,000 a month right now. It's what your mortgage payment is. Or it covers your half of the mortgage, so to speak. And that's where the customization comes in play, guys. That's where you pull out your software and start customizing it, start playing with the numbers to get it to fit where it needs to fit, or calling your mentor from the home and have them help you play with the numbers if you get stuck. And then it's nothing more than go, okay, great, you know. And then I start, I just, when they tell me, well, I like this one right here, okay, great. And how about for you, Linda? Okay, I like this one here, okay, great. So let me start asking a couple questions real quick and go through these ones, make sure you answer them honestly, and I start going through the application. Or you may be at a point where you're going to get your first, I want to think about it, right there, right? You're sitting there at the table, you're going through the coverage, they're having a hard time making a freaking decision. I'm still assuming that they're getting the coverage. I'll always assume it's a need because they told me it's a need. I'm just there trying to help me in a need. You know, I'm nothing more than a guy behind the counter at McDonald's and some guy goes, can I have a Big Mac fries and a Coke? I don't question him. I don't go, are you sure you want a Big Mac fries and a Coke? Yeah, that's what I just ordered there, idiot. Well, are you 100% sure? I'm going to turn around with my little McDonald's hat on and my greasy shoes with the little things pointing up in the air because I've worked there for so long that the grease is pointing up to like clown shoes if you've ever seen someone work in a fast food restaurant. I'm going to turn my butt around. I'm going to get the fries. I'm going to get the bag. And I'm going to get the Big Mac box and shove it in the bag and hand it to them and tell them it's $12.50 or $3.50 or $8.50. I don't go to McDonald's, so who knows. That's the same thing I'm there for. You send in the form. You have a need. I showed you the solution. Let's help you get the solution. I'm going to just assume. So if they're kind of messing around, they're not really sure in terms of the number, guys, one of the things I always tell them, say, listen, you know, just help me here. You don't have to give me $82.16, but what were you guys looking for? Now that you've seen everything, what do we need to get these numbers to that's going to be comfortable for you, that you see value in for both you and Linda, Mark? 99% of the time, they'll just tell you guys. They'll say, well, you know, I'm thinking about $180 for both of us. Okay, so let's see if we can do this. Well, we can do this. We can do that. We can drop this. We can always drop the coverage to $75,000 and do this with accidental death. It's still going to cover 80% of the market, and that's where you start playing with the numbers, right? If they're still having a problem making a decision, right, and they go, well, you know, this is good. I'm glad we got this information. This is really what, you know, we were looking for. We just wanted to get some information. And now, obviously, you know, Linda and I want to talk about this and kind of go over some of the things. And we really need to kind of – we haven't really thought about what's going to fit the budget. And so we just really need to see whether or not this is going to even be feasible for us. And, you know, and meanwhile, they have a big screen TV hanging on their wall. They got a nice furniture. So, you know, it's all BS. Blah, 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 blah. It's all this knee-jerk reaction. People don't want to feel pressure to make a decision. So I'm going to immediately take control right there. That's awesome. Great. We don't have to cover the number right now. Mark, let me just see if you even qualify for this product. And I'm going to immediately go right to the questions, whether it's on the UHL application or let me see if you even qualify for this coverage here. So in the last 7 years, have you been diagnosed, treated for, you know, high blood pressure, anemia, chest pain, boom, 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 boom. And I'm going to ask him. I'm going to look up to him a couple times. Like, I'll get to asthma, and I'll kind of look up to them, like, you know, you're in asthma? No. Now I completely have control, and now they're trying to qualify for something. Another psychological thing, guys. People want something they can't have. So I'm not going to make it easy for them to qualify, right? You got to qualify for this. This isn't a done deal. All of a sudden, you're sitting here, well, we're not really sure. We have to make a decision. Wait a minute. We get to make – I'm making the decision here, Joe. I'm making the decision – based on what the carriers have told me as a field under. I don't say this, guys. This is my attitude and my brain thing. I'm here to make the decision, not you. I got to see whether you can qualify for it. Say, well, great. Well, while you're figuring that out, and obviously we can talk about it, let's just, before we even put the cart before the horse, let's see if you even qualify for this product. I'm going to go through the questions. As I'm going through the questions, guys, I'd probably say 7 out of 10 people all fill out the whole application, find out a number, and apply for it. And then it comes back down to the beginning of this call, and I'll end with this, was what was it that I said in the beginning of the call was pretty much primarily the one reason I can't walk out with an application. And if you guys remember, it was they had to tell me this is not a concern to me. So it's not about the price. It's not about whether they can afford it. It is, but that's just their excuses. It's not about whether they can make up their mind in 2 minutes or 2 years. It comes down to, you got to tell me this is not a concern, and I'll walk my ass out of your house. You'll never see me again. So if they're at that point, guys, and you're getting through the application, and they go, yeah, you know, well, and I had a lady come tell me the other day, she's like, I ain't giving you, I said, I need a voided check. She goes, what's that for? I'm not paying you any money. I'm not signing anything. I said, you don't have to pay me any money, and you don't have to sign anything. She goes, well, good. I said, let me explain how this process works. And I'm always explaining how the process works at the end so they feel comfortable with it. Because most people don't just because you know how this process works, they don't. I said, first of all, you can't sign anything today. The only thing you can do is approve the application. See how I said that? Which requires her signatures. You can't sign anything today. All you can do is approve the application. Let me show you how this process works. Unlike the old days where you had to write out a check or go to the bank and get cash out, make a cashier's check, and pay them a money order, we simply approve the application, we apply for it. Whether it's a day, 3 days, 5 days, I really can't tell you. Between now and the next 5 days, when the underwriter gets it, they're going to draft out this first month premium right here, this $95.33, okay? And they're going to hold on to it. Along the way, between now when this policy gets approved or denied, if we need to make any changes, you call me up, okay? And they'll refund any difference of premium. It's always easier to go down in coverage than it is to go up. I never talk about cancel if you decide you don't want it. I don't play that wussy little way. Okay, well, if you don't want it, why? I don't waste my time. Fill your application. Send it to the carrier just because I'm going to let them decide whether they want it or not. They want it. Okay, I'm going to tell them they can make adjustments on it. They already told me it's a concern, right? So it's always easier to go down in coverage than it is to go up. So if you sit down, you're not really sure about this $95.31, and you want to go to the $80 option, the $70 option, that's okay. Just call me. Simple phone call. I'll make the adjustment. And when we come out here and when you accept the policy, when it gets approved, and then you sign for it, we can sign an addendum right along with it, and we can get that coverage put in place. But understand that, even after you accept it, right, we still have 30 days after the fact to make any adjustments. Again, if you wanted to go down in coverage, or maybe you thought about it, and you're sitting down with your wife, and you really just say, this isn't going to fit in our budget, simple phone call, we'll drop the coverage amount, and they'll refund the difference of premium, okay? But you know what's really, really cool? In the next 6 weeks or the next 6 months, if you're paying this payment, it just seems like too much of a burden for you, it's a little bit too much of a hardship for you, just give me a call. We can still drop the coverage. We can still make this go down, and basically they're not going to return their premium, the difference of premium for the last 6 months, but moving forward, they can drop that coverage into a payment that's more comfortable to you. And you'll see this ease on their face. So she came over, signed the application, got a void check, ripped it off, and handed it to me. It wasn't about, I'm not, you guys buy that crap. It wasn't about, I'm not giving you any money, and I'm not signing it. That wasn't what she's thinking. She doesn't want to make a commitment. She doesn't want to make a decision, doesn't want to make a snap decision. We're all trained, don't make a decision quite right away, because it's not going to be a good one. But I read a book called Think and Grow Rich. It says successful people make decisions quickly and change them slowly, while unsuccessful people contemplate, to consider, to evaluate, to discuss with their friends before ever making a decision. So if you know you're dealing with mostly unsuccessful people, they have a problem making a decision. So you got to help them make a decision that's in their best interest. And by me explaining the process to them, it helps them feel more comfortable in making a decision. So I get over to think about it, right? And then I always explain the process. Now, if I'm, you know, talking to this application and they go, yeah, well, you know, this is great, Nate. You know, I already asked all the questions. I go, I just need a copy of void check. Whoa, we're not doing anything. We're not prepared to do anything tonight. We appreciate you being out here. It's just something we're not going to do. I said, okay, great. So what you're telling me is that this is something you guys really need to think about. And they go, yeah, we just really need to think about it. I go, well, that's awesome. I mean, this is definitely a big decision in your life. This is definitely something you want to think about. And I would encourage you to do that. After I leave here, I would encourage you to get a pen and paper out, put down your bills, figure out if it's going to fit in the budget. But what I really got to decide before I move any further is, if you need to think about whether this is a concern to you or not, whether it's a concern to have protection, like we talked about earlier, Mark, so if you pass away, that your wife can stay in the home. If you got to think about if it's a concern or not, whether or not you want to have protection put in place for your family, and I say just like this, guys, if that's what you need to think about, then I'll pack my stuff up right now, I'll shut my computer, I'll leave you my number, and you call me when you figured out if this is a concern to you or not. I don't think that's the case, is it? No. So if it is a concern, then this is just the first step that we're taking towards finding your solution. Because this is a concern, whether it's $100 a month or $80 a month or $70 a month, let's get the process started. And again, and then I'll explain the process to them. And that's when I'll go through the process I just explained. Let's get the process started. Let me explain how this works, John, or Mark. Let me explain how this works. When we get this application, we apply for the coverage, okay? Any changes that you guys need to make, so if you're not sure if you're about this $150 a month or the $120 a month, talk about it. Think about it. Write things down. I'm giving them what they wanted, right? They want to think about it. I'm telling them they want to think about it. But I just addressed, is this a concern or not? The only way I'm leaving the house without an application, they tell me, this is not a concern to me. Get out. Then I'll leave. But if this is a concern, then we need to get this coverage started. And that's when I'll say, let me show you how this process works, and I'll slide over the conditional receipt, if that's where they say I want to think about it. I love when they say, tell me you want to think about it. Ooh, it locks down the sale. Because I don't really know if they're interested or not now. I really know. When I don't hear people say objection or they don't want to think about it, it seems too easy. I get scared when I leave the house. Like, ooh, is this going to stick? They didn't give me any objections. And they want to go think about it. I go, great, you know, that's awesome. You need to think about whether this is a concern to you or not, or having protection in place so that your wife's not left out in the cold or your family's protected, or if you got to really think about whether or not you want to have coverage in place so if you die that your wife doesn't lose the house, and that's what you need to think about, then I'm out of here. You know, I'll close up my computer, I'll leave you my number, and you know, you call me when you figure out if it's a concern or not. But I don't think that's the case, is it? And I wait for their answer. Well, no. This is a concern. We're just not really sure what number. Okay, great. Let me show you how this process works. And I grab the conditional receipt and I slide it over to them. And this is where I usually tell my story, guys, about my friend who passed away. And you say, you know, I have one of the guys who works for our company, is a really good friend. He passed away 34 years old. So anyway, I slide the conditional receipt over to him. I go, this right here would have changed my best friend's family's life forever. And they get all like, what? And they all look at it, and they try to, like, grab it from you and stuff. Okay, this is a conditional receipt. So if we establish the fact that this is a concern and we apply for this coverage, as long as you didn't lie on this application, guys, this is as good as gold. Keep this somewhere safe. I'm going to write my phone number and my email address on this because this is something you're not going to lose. And I build the heck out of this conditional receipt. Because when I leave here tonight, guys, and you made a decision that this is a concern, you want to put protection for your family, as long as this gets applied for, as it gets approved as applied for, this is as good as your policy right here. Now, again, we can make changes on here, and I'll explain the process to them. Well, I'll say my best friend at 34 years old died in a boating accident. I'll never forget the phone call. I woke up at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, March 11th, and his wife was on the phone, Mandy, in hysterics. And you can still tell this story, guys, about a friend of yours. You know, I used to get a lot more deep into it. I don't get that much emotionally deep into it. It's not even necessary. So I'll just do it like I do it. And I said, you know, she was crying, and she was hysterical. And she goes, Corey's dead. I couldn't believe it. And my first thought was, hey, do you have any insurance put in place? And she goes, yeah. He just met with his financial advisor 3 days ago. We've been talking about it forever. I said, well, great. You know, and she went through the funeral, and she, you know, had to go through, and you know, all the grieving of losing your best friend and your husband. And then basically what happened was, you know, 2 weeks later I get another phone call, and she's literally angry. She's cursing. I can't believe it. Corey left me with nothing. Now what I'm doing, I'm solidifying in their brain why they just made a good decision to apply for this. Okay, that's what I'm doing, guys. And I go, what do you mean he left me with nothing? He goes, he sat down with the financial advisor and said he wanted to wait and he was going to think about it and he wanted to wait until March to put or a month from now to put the coverage in place. He never signed the papers. He left me with nothing. I said, this piece of paper right here is ensuring that's not going to happen to your family. And I got a little emotional. I got a little deep with him, guys. So I said, so if anything were to happen to you, Mark, God forbid, or you, Linda, God forbid, this is as good as your policy. That coverage is enforced as long as it's approved, it's applied for. Now, I got a little bit emotional with them, so I'm going to let them off the hook. And I go, you know, so if something happens to me, look for the black truck and the black bag and the policy's in there. And they always laugh. And that's a very simple trick, guys, because right now they may be a little bit defensive. Oh, no, he's selling me. He's talking about his friend. He died. Da, da, da. And I always say, your situation may be different, but here's what happened. You know, my friend, he passed away. His daughters lost their house. You know, they had to go live with two separate set of grandparents. She traveled an hour and a half back and forth raising her kid for 3 years. Your situation may be a little bit different, but this piece of paper would have changed those kids' lives. So I'm kind of emotional, and I said, so if something happens to either one of you, God forbid, keep hanging on this. This is as good as your policy as long as it gets approved and applied for. And they go, if something happens to me, just look for the black bag and the black truck, and then it's in there, the policy. And they start to laugh and chuckle. I go, no, my wife knows where all my policies are, but you guys are good. You're covered. The reason I do that, the philosophy behind that is that if they are defensive, if they're still kind of, I want to think about it, and I'm able to implant that joke in there, it's going to make them laugh. When people laugh, and they, ah, ha, 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 all that stuff goes right into their subconscious mind. They just accepted all the stuff you just told them, and it's basically implanted there, and it's a done deal. So as I get through that part, guys, I explain it to them, and, you know, the think about it one is so simple. I think it's the hardest one for anyone to come across over is I want to think about it or the money. And if you create the value and set up the value the right way, if you identify with people the right way in the beginning, gather the information the right way, attack your best objections up front, create the value, show them how that comes into play, give them the logic and reasoning behind it, find their concern and give them their solution, there shouldn't be a reason why you can't have the ability to walk out with at least 80, if not 100%, of every application of every homeowner you sit down and enroll them. So I know we went longer. Brad, I don't know if you want to add anything. I think this is definitely something we could chop up here. Maybe even do it again. I don't mind doing this, you know, a couple times with the basics. But
you know, Brad? Call. Yep, I think that covers, you know, that explains a lot of why you're getting 100% closing rate. So great call. And I would encourage everybody on the call to listen to this several times, and we can, you know, we're going to be putting it on the website, so agenttraining.info. It'll be up in probably a few days. So I guess we'll wrap it up. Everybody have a good night, and let's put up some big numbers this week. Have a good night.
Congratulations again, everybody. Have a good night. God bless.